We're going to consider the 97th question and answer of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and you have it in your bulletin. And so before we turn to the passage that I will be preaching from this evening, I'd like to just read this answer. It actually is sort of a quote of 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29. But let us consider the precise summary of what we understand the Bible to teach. The question is, what is required to the worthy receiving of the Lord's Supper? The answer is, it is required of them that would worthily partake of the Lord's Supper that they examine themselves, of their knowledge to discern the Lord's body, of their faith to feed upon Him, of their repentance, love, and new obedience. Thus coming unworthily, they eat and drink judgment to themselves. This evening, we're going to look at this subject as we examine what Paul reveals to us, or the Spirit reveals to us through Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 through 29. I'm going to go ahead and read this whole passage, verses 17 through 34, because I'll be making reference to the rest of the context of this passage. So please give your attention, beginning in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry and another gets drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, not at all. I'm sorry, no, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About other things, I will give you directions when I come. Would you please pray for the blessing of God on His Word again with me? Holy Father in heaven, please do open your word to us. We pray that you would sanctify us in truth. We know that your word is truth. So please use your spirit to write it upon our hearts, to draw us to repentance, to capture our emotions and to subdue our wills, that we might truly comprehend your grace and the right response to it that we should give as your covenant people. We pray this in the name of our Savior and Lord, King Jesus. Amen. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is not a passive ritual. Actually, it requires that we examine ourselves before we come to the sacrament, and then we come to the sacrament by faith. Paul's very clear in verse 28 of our passage. He says, "Let a person examine himself and then eat and drink." As communicant members of the church, we must take Paul's command seriously and examine our faith and our life before we come to receive that seal of God's covenant with us in Jesus Christ. This subject, examining ourselves before the sacrament, it should also cause our covenant children and any unbelievers in the church to examine your hearts as well and think about your relationship to Jesus Christ and the importance of receiving the sacrament as a sign and seal of salvation. In our passage here, Paul commands us to examine ourselves because there is a danger at the table. And then he teaches us that we must avoid an unworthy approach to the sacrament. But finally, we must seek to approach the sacrament in a worthy manner so that we might nourish our souls instead of heap eating and drinking condemnation to us. And really, those are the three points we're going to consider this evening as we examine how it is that we approach the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. How do we have a worthy approach to this dangerous table? Sadly, many churches in our day offer no warning at the Lord's table, and they allow anyone to partake of it. They just offer it and administer it freely to whoever desires to come to the table. And the problem with this practice is that there is a real danger at the table. And so we need to consider what it is that danger consists of. And we find Paul describe it in two ways. The first is in verse 27. Paul wrote that if a person eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, he or she will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. What does it mean to be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord? Well, I think this means that the unworthy worshiper becomes guilty of murdering Jesus Christ. Remember, in the sacrament, the bread and the wine, they represent Christ's body and blood broken and poured out in his crucifixion on the cross. And so when Paul says you're guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord, he's saying if you come in an unworthy manner and profane the sacrament, you bear the guilt of murdering Jesus Christ. You face the same judgment as those 2,000 years ago who cried, "Crucify him." You face the same judgment and guilt as Pilate and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Paul wrote that there is danger at the Lord's table because if we come in an unworthy manner, we bear and take on the guilt of murdering Jesus Christ with those who did it with their own hands and their own mouths. And second, what we find is that there is a danger because you can expect a judgment at the Lord's table if you come in an unworthy manner and partake. Notice what Paul wrote in verse 29. If you do not discern the Lord's body, you eat and drink judgment upon yourself. Now, this is not some fake judgment, some bluff to get us to shake and be extra sober and pious at the sacrament. Rather, this judgment is real. Notice what Paul says in verse 30. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. You see, Paul spoke as a prophet when he interpreted the events at Corinth. He knew that some people in the church, for some reason they didn't understand, became weak and ill. Some people had died, and Paul said that happened because they were under the judgment of God for approaching the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Now today, we are not prophets. We cannot point to anyone and say for sure that they're suffering because they came to the sacrament of the Lord's table in an unworthy way. But we must all adopt a new appreciation for the sacrament, that there is danger. We face the danger of guilt and judgment, even at the Lord's table, if we come and partake in an unworthy manner. Well, I haven't defined what that unworthy manner is yet. And so let us try to define and understand what an unworthy approach to the sacrament looks like. Now, here in verse 27, when Paul says, refers to approaching the Lord's table or eating and drinking the cup in an unworthy manner, it seems that he intended kind of a broad meaning for the word unworthy. And so really to define it, we have to look at the broader context. And really, in the whole context of 1 Corinthians 11, we find that it's appeared that the people and the saints in Corinth came to the Lord's table in an unworthy way. Actually, verses 17 through 22 are an account of Paul rebuking the Corinthians from coming to the table in a sinful way. And notice the two ways they came wrongly. In verses 18 and 19, they came together with divisions and strife among themselves. He said there were factions among you, and of course there were, but they came and ate together and communed together in the sacrament with divisions. There's a reference here to the wealthy people not being willing to sit down with the poor. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, Christ commanded that we be reconciled with our brothers before we come to worship. So what the Corinthian church did was very wrong, according to the inspired teaching of Paul, but also according to Christ. In verse 34, it said they did not eat in unity, waiting for one another. They treated the sacrament like it was Jesus speaking just directly to them, and they were the only ones there. So when they received the bread, when they received the cup, they ate and drank it, and they didn't wait for everyone and eat and drink together as a unified body. First, there were factions and divisions. And secondly, we find in verses 20 and 21 that they treated the sacrament like it was their own fellowship meal. They thought that the sacrament should strengthen their bodies and not their souls. They didn't recognize the symbolic meaning of the bread and wine. And in verse 34, Paul revealed that they were judged because of this unworthy approach to the sacrament. The Corinthians came as a divided church, not a church united as one body in Christ that we considered last week. And they came and instead of looking through the bread and the wine to the body and blood of Christ that they symbolized and desiring to feed upon it spiritually, they thought it was just like any other meal. And they were greedy to feed their stomachs with those elements. Well, this is the context of unworthy in 1 Corinthians 11, but I'd like to take just a minute to expound upon this a little bit more. An unworthy approach is a careless and irreverent spirit about the sacrament. You see, to come to the Lord's table, the Lord calls us to be able to discern the Lord's body in the sacrament. We must remember also that in the sacrament we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. That's what Paul explains about the sacrament in verse 26. And so since Christ's body and blood are symbolized by the bread and wine, we must approach the Lord's Supper with reverence and holiness. If you eat and drink without thinking about the meaning, you do it in an unworthy manner. You do it in an older term, in a frivolous way. But remember, Christ actually takes that bread and breaks it as a symbol of His broken body. And He takes that cup and He exhibits it to them and He hands them to you through His minister as symbols of His body and blood. And if you just take it as with a desire just to have a little bit of bread and a little sip of wine or grape juice or whatever it is that you're having, and you do not look to Christ, you're taking it in an unworthy manner. Furthermore, if you have no desire for Christ and His death, you are unworthy to partake of the sacrament. If you will not seek to obey the Lord Christ as your Lord, then you are unworthy of the sacrament. If you do not believe in Christ as Savior, if you have some sort of contempt and hatred in your heart toward Jesus, then you have no business approaching the table of the Lord. That is an unworthy approach. Both Charles Hodge and Simon Kistemaker, they illustrated an unworthy approach and the offense in it with the same picture And so since those guys are a lot smarter than me, I want to bring that picture to you to understand how offensive and unworthy approach to the Lord, an unbelieving approach, an undiscerning approach, a hypocritical approach to the table is. It's like burning a flag in the United States. It's like burning a flag. The United States flag, it's a piece of colored cloth. And so in one sense, it's just like burning some cotton or polyester or whatever they've made it out of. But that flag, it represents something. It is a symbol of our nation. And so when you burn a flag or you treat it in an unworthy manner, you communicate that you have no respect for your homeland. And likewise, when you come to the Lord's table without faith and without obedience to Christ, when you come to the Lord's table without looking through the elements of bread and wine to the body and blood of Christ sacrificed for your sins, you show that you have no respect for Jesus Christ. It's true that the bread and the wine are still just bread and wine, but they represent our holy Lord, and therefore we must approach them as the holy sacrament that Christ has given to us. If we approach it as just a snack, a cookie or a piece of bread or a sip of some cool drink, then we have profaned the sacrament. And we have shown disrespect for our Lord Jesus Christ. If we profane the symbol of Christ's sacrament, we actually declare publicly a contempt or hatred toward Him. And we say, we don't really want it ourselves. That's how offensive and unworthy approach to the sacrament is. And that's why this table that is a table in the sun and the glorious grace of the Lord, is also a table that's a dangerous table. Well, we've considered the unworthy approach to the sacrament, but our goal tonight is not to be masters of how to heap condemnation on us by unworthily approaching the sacrament. Our goal tonight is learning about the worthy approach to the sacrament. In other words, our goal is to ask, how shall we come to the Lord's table? And as I define this worthy approach, I want to begin with this. The worthy approach includes discerning the Lord's body. We get this backwards in verse 29. Notice what Paul says, "For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." So if we are going to eat and drink in a worthy manner, we must be able to discern the Lord's body. And the exegetical challenge here is defining what body is. And I submit to you that in this verse, in verse 29, body, it doesn't refer to the church like it does in other places, even in 1 Corinthians. But when we consider the context here, remember verse 27 speaks about eating the bread and drinking the cup that represent the body and blood of the Lord. In that context, Paul can mean nothing else in verse 29 but the body of Christ that was crucified on the cross. And then to discern means to judge or to discriminate. In other words, we must understand, before we come to the sacrament, we must have the cognitive ability to understand the sacrament. We must understand that we're not just eating a little bit of bread and a little sip of wine. We must be able to see that they remain bread and wine, but they represent the body and blood of Christ. We must discriminate that this is not just a regular meal, but it's a sacramental meal. The bread is bread, but it represents Christ's body. We must be able to understand that the cup is wine, but it represents the blood of Christ that atoned for our sins. Discerning the Lord's body, it doesn't look to the bread and wine to feed our stomachs. It looks to Christ's sacrifice to nourish our souls by faith. And so to approach in a worthy manner, you must understand what is offered to you in the sacrament. You must be able to see clearly and comprehend Christ. And why, and be able to answer that question, why do you need Christ's body and blood broken for you on the cross? And the answer is, if you want to think about it. The answer is that you need it because you're a sinner. And his body and blood, his sacrifice on the cross, is the only sacrifice to reconcile you to God. The only way the way we approach the sacrament in a worthy manner is discerning what happens under there, understanding the symbolism and looking beyond the elements of the bread and the cup to the body and blood of Christ sacrificed for our redemption. And second, Paul commanded us to examine ourselves. In verse 28, he says, "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." The second way we approach the sacrament in a worthy manner is examining ourselves. That is our careful preparation. It's not necessarily fun to examine our faith and our emotions and our own life and our sin, but Paul calls us to examine ourselves. Verse 26 states that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes when we eat and drink in the sacrament. So you have to ask yourself if you need Christ's sacrament for your sins. And not just objectively or hypothetically, but do you existentially know that you need his sacrifice for your sins? When you examine yourself, ask that question. Do you long for his return to receive you into heaven? Do you desire to proclaim the Lord's death, and do you need it? Paul calls us to ask these questions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 15, Paul wrote, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith." And so if we let Paul define his terms, we must consider our hearts honestly. Do you really understand Christ? Do you understand who he really is? Or is he some abstract guy that you heard about from your parents or in Sunday school? Do you really understand that Jesus is the Son of God? And do you really believe in him? Do you really rest and find hope in his finished work of redemption on the cross? The sacrament of the Lord's Supper, these elements, this ceremony that Christ gives to us, it seals and it guarantees to you who take it by faith God's covenant of grace. It's not for anyone who does not trust in Jesus Christ. If you are not a believer in Christ, this sacrament isn't for you. It's to seal and guarantee a covenant and grace that exists as you rest in Jesus Christ. So examining yourself requires that you ask if you love Christ. But it requires even more. It requires that you ask, do you really love him? Do you love him as love is defined in the Bible? And desire to obey him. Christ called us to salvation with a call to faith and repentance. Faith, believing and resting in Christ's complete work to save us, and repentance, turning from living for ourselves and our own sinful desires to now living for Jesus Christ, our King, and his glory and his will. And so we must examine our lives and not just our heart. In Psalm 15, we find that an examination. And I think we might see Psalm 15 as an examination of an Old Testament believer before he came to be admitted to the Passover. And there are several places throughout the Scripture that call us to examine ourselves. So listen to what we sing in Psalm 15. "Who shall sojourn in your tent? And who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right." So think about your life. Do you live for your sinful desires and be honest with yourself? Or do you live for Jesus Christ? Do you come confessing that you are unworthy? But you come confessing Christ's worthiness, and that you are righteous only in him. The sacrament is for true believers and disciples of Jesus Christ. And so to come and worthily partake of it for the nourishment of our souls and not the condemnation of our souls, we must examine our lives carefully, painfully, precisely. And we must turn back to Christ when we have turned away from Him. Well, in conclusion, I want to address two parties that are here. First, if you're a covenant child, or if you're an unbeliever, I want you to listen. Because really, now is the time to start growing up and considering the blessing that you have received by being born into the church. You need to take the sacrament seriously and what it means. Seriously. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is not a game. It's a real gift from Jesus Christ. You cannot come to the sacrament if you just want to see what it is like or taste what the bread tastes like or what the cup tastes like. You cannot come to the sacrament just because your friends can come to the Lord's table. The sacrament is for true believers. And so you need to take Jesus seriously and start today if you have not before. If you've been baptized, you need to understand that in your baptism, the Lord promised you a salvation from your sins. But a salvation that you can receive only by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. You've heard about Christ in public worship. You've heard about Christ in your family worship and in your Sunday school. I can witness to that here. So you need to understand that you need Jesus or you will die in your sin and misery. And then I want you to encourage you that none of you are too young to pray for forgiveness with faith in Christ. None of you, none of us are too young to vow obedience to Him as our Lord because of the great grace He's poured out upon us. Our hope, that is the hope of the elders, the hope of other believers in the church, the hope of your parents is that you embrace Christ as Savior. And that you be able to come to the Lord's table so that Christ may nourish your souls as well. It's time to grow up, no matter how old you are, and move on to embrace Christ who has been proclaimed to you. You don't know how many days you have left to live. And so I urge you to examine your life. Examine the promise of forgiveness through faith in Christ and do it today. And second, if you're a communicant member, I urge you to listen to what Paul reveals here and exhorts us and the message he exhorts us to here. If you do not have a practice of examining your heart regularly, I urge you to start now. Don't wait for 6 weeks from now when we come to the Lord's table again. Start now examining your heart, examining the way you live, examining your faith and the sincerity of your faith. And I want to also comfort you as we've considered the serious danger at the table. This warning is not attached to the sacrament to bring you to fear and to drive you away. It's not attached to the sacrament against the timid or the doubting people. It's attached to the sacrament to warn the careless and the profane. There's a story by Robert Murray McChain, who, as he preached a sermon in preparation for the sacrament and was about to administer the sacrament, a woman said, "Oh, I cannot come to the Lord's table. I understand my sin. I am so unworthy." And he proclaimed to her, "No, you need it. The sacrament is for timid, doubting people who need Christ's body and blood to nourish our souls." But the warning is for those who come frivolously, carelessly, irreverently. And so we need to be people who prepare our hearts by examining our hearts and prepare ourselves to really partake of the glory of this sacrament. And if you think you don't need to examine yourself, I just encourage you to realize that we will never reach a height of faith where we will not need continual growth and continual repentance. As I think about older saints that I know, it seems like the older they get and the longer they walk with Christ, the more humble they are and the more broken they are by their sin. And I'm not really that old, but I've lived long enough to see I am far more wicked, and sin has penetrated my heart far more deeply than I ever imagined. So we always need to examine our hearts and to turn back where we've turned away in faith and to repent of the sin that we've taken on in our lives. But I want to conclude with this. Don't let this warning cast a shadow of gloom on the Lord's table. Rather, it's a dangerous table. We need to understand this, but we need to know that it's a table in the sun. A table in the S-O-N sun. A table of blessing and grace and encouragement. And I want you to listen to an old pastor's encouragement. He wrote, "We're not called unto the mount covered with clouds and darkness, from which issue the signs of wrath, but unto Mount Zion, to the abode of mercy and grace, where all is love, the dying love of him who never breaks the bruised reed." Examine yourself. Come as a broken sinner to the table of the Lord. Come as a broken sinner to Jesus Christ in faith, and he will by no means ever cast you away. Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we do confess together that we do break your law each day in thought, word, and deed. That even our faith, it is not complete at times. You call us to love you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. But yet, as we examine our hearts, we find that there's still part of ourselves that we love more than you. And so we pray that your Spirit might indeed impact us and transform us with your grace and a greater understanding of the redemption that Christ purchased, that we might hate the idols of our hearts and that our hearts might have one lover, you, our triune God, who loved us so much, with so much zeal and covenant faithfulness, that you provided your Son to satisfy your wrath. Father, how we don't understand how you could pour out your hot eternal wrath on your only begotten Son, who was perfect, for people and sinners like us. But Father, help us to think about this, to meditate upon this, to understand it and comprehend it more and more, so that we might know your grace and be moved by your grace to seek first Christ and his kingdom in all of our lives. And Father, I pray that your Spirit might work mightily among our covenant children. Cause them to seek you. Cause them to take hold of the gospel you've placed upon them in their baptism and placed before them in the preaching of the gospel. And that we would see your Spirit complete their baptism with saving faith as our children one by one in droves come professing Christ, longing to speak to the session, longing to make that public profession that they belong to you as your disciples, that they depend upon your grace, that they rest in Christ's work, that their desire is your kingdom. Lord, please do work among us, work in our children, work throughout the ends of the earth, everywhere the gospel has gone out this Lord's day, to call your elect out of darkness into light. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.